It was going to be a really, really great dad moment. My son, who was 12 years old at the time, Stephen, we were headed to Walmart. And as we were pulling in, there in the median was a middle-aged woman with a sign that says, "Need food." And I could tell by looking at her, she had had a rough experience and was going through a rough time. And so I leaned over to my son, Stephen, and said, "Stephen, after we get what we need, let's go through and buy a bag of groceries for this lady in need." And so we got into Walmart, we quickly got our stuff, and for the next 20 minutes, we carefully walked around to say what would be healthy, what would be nutritious, what would need refrigeration, how could we bless this lady? And we found this beautiful big bag of red apples. And we found this great big bag of baby carrots. And then we found these bagels, the super chewy kind that we really liked. And we got some nuts, and we filled up the rest of the bag with pita chips and with popcorn, and we were so proud of ourselves. Unbeknownst to her, this girl was just about to get blessed. She had said, "Need food," and we were gonna help her. And we were so excited. And so I remember pulling up to the median, and I let my son Stephen get out so he could do the giving, and he walked over, he handed this big bag of groceries, this heavy bag of beautiful things to her, and we paused, and she said, "Thank you," and she smiled, and that's when we realized she had no teeth. We thought we were doing something amazing for this lady. Meanwhile, crunchy carrots, crunchy apples, crunchy popcorn, crunchy nuts, crunchy pita chips, crunchy chewy bagels. You see, here's the issue. Last week we started a series based on this prayer that Pastor Kenny led us in right here from this pulpit in 1981. "Lord, help us see the needs." It's one thing to see the needs, but this week we're gonna talk about, "Lord, help us hear the cries no one else is hearing." It's one thing to see a need and do something that makes us feel better about ourselves because we help this person in need, but the reality is she couldn't eat any of that food. Why? Rather than thinking about her and what she needed, we were thinking about us and what we could do. Lord, help us hear the cries no one else is hearing. I recently read an article last week from a magazine, a Christian magazine called Ministry Watch. I don't know if you're following the news what's happening in Haiti right now, but it's pretty severe. 52,000 people have fled the city. The gangs went through and released 4,000 prisoners into the streets. The previous president was assassinated. It's a horrible situation right now, but you know what? Out of all the nations of the world, American Christians have sent more short-term missions to Haiti than any other country in the world in the history of the world. And that sounds great, but the reality is we've sent all these missionaries and look what's going on there. Because a lot of times, there's unintended consequences to our well-intentioned efforts. Not all help is help. In the end, it's not just about seeing a need and saying, "Oh, what can I do?" It's about hearing the cries of the people in those situations. It's about us not just doing something so we feel better, but it's doing something so God can bless and work in them with the true needs that they have. The Bible is filled with scriptures like this one. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, here's what God says. "If there is a poor person in any of the towns, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted. Rather, be open-handed." If we see elsewhere in the book of Deuteronomy, it also says this, "I command you." Notice it doesn't say, "I suggest," or "I encourage you." It says, "I command you to be open-handed toward the poor and the needy in your city." This is the word of the Lord, to see the needs, but also to hear the cries that no one else is hearing. Again, this opening prayer of Pastor Kenny, "Lord, help us see the needs no one else sees. Help us hear the cries no one else is hearing. Help us care about those no one else is caring for." There is a very clear direction in the scripture of what we can do. We might think a bag of carrots is great or gifts to a country in poverty and we feel better, but the Lord wants us to hear what he hears. to hear the cries. In fact, I invite you to stand with me. We're going to walk through a passage of scripture that I believe God can speak to us about as we open up our ears to hear. When Jesus said, pray this, my kingdom come, your kingdom come, Lord, your will be done here on earth. He's looking for a people that will demonstrate his heart here on earth. And here's an example of that in Exodus. Here's how we read. Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush doesn't burn up. And when the Lord saw that Moses had gone over to see, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Moses said, here I am. Moses said, here I am. God said, do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt, and I have heard them crying out, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them and bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me. So now, Moses, go. I am sending you. Let's say that together. I am sending you. Let me say it to you. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out. This is a story of people in poverty who cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard their cry, and he called someone alongside. Said, Moses, I want you to go. Hear these cries. I want you to respond. Now, let me unpack this story for just a little bit here. Here's Moses. All of a sudden, he's on holy ground, and the Lord says, take off your shoes. Why does he say, take off your shoes? So let me unpack that for you for just a moment. In those days, if Moses was gonna buy some sandals, he couldn't go to Walmart. He couldn't go to Target. He couldn't go to Macy's. He couldn't go to Prada. Not sure what level you guys are all on. Moses had to make his own shoes. Everybody did. They made their own shoes in those days. And he would have made those shoes. And God's saying, look, for you to hear the cries I'm hearing, you have to take off anything that comes between me and you of your own making. I know you want to buy those carrots. I know we're going to take that trip to Haiti. But this isn't just about what you feel like doing. You have to take off what seems of your own making. And so here we are today on holy ground. And there's some cries out there that are going up to the Lord. And he wants us to hear them. And he wants us today to be able to say, here I am. So here's what I'm gonna invite you to do. For the rest of this message, I'm just gonna invite you to take your shoes off. Go ahead, just slip them off. Go ahead and forgive the person next to you for not having foot powder. I want to take your shoes off for just a moment because we're on holy ground and I want us to hear from the Lord today too, amen? Lord Jesus, we come to this moment. We come to this moment to hear from you. I pray, Lord, that our ears would be open, that as we on this holy ground, on this very place where that prayer was prayed, that we would hear from you and we would hear the cries that you hear. Strengthen us, work in us. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit's saying in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. As you're being seated, turn to somebody and say, the Lord hears your cries. And that's one of the truths today that we open this message with is the Lord hears your cries. Let me tell you about a guy named Terrence. Terrence was in prison for 26 years on death row. Terrence cried out to the Lord, and he says, God, I need your work. And here's what happened. God turned Terrence's life around. He went from death row to the life flow of Jesus in him. And here's what took place. God gave him a vision of going into prisons and jails and teaching men there how to be dads. And so he started this ministry of going into prisons, holding this training to help guys who were in there so when they came out, they knew how to be a father. They knew how to understand godly principles. In fact, last month when I was at the men's breakfast here at Cathedral, Terrence was there, and while he was there, he introduced me to a man that showed up at the breakfast, and this man that he introduced me to was one of the guys who went through his training, and that guy was at our breakfast with his son. You see, it's not just the poor, the prisoners, the homeless. It's somebody with a story, somebody with a name, somebody with a turnaround named Terrence. God calls us to see beyond these large categories of these people out there in need and say, look, these are people with names, with stories who need a turnaround. The beautiful thing is we serve a God who listens. He hears us. In Psalm 34, we read this text. It says, God is listening, ready to rescue you. Also in Psalms, the Lord is close to all who call on him. And then I love this passage in Isaiah. Before they call, God says, I will answer. Wasn't that story about the 20,000 cool? While they are still speaking, I will hear. This is God's desire. He wants to let us know that God hears our cries. The Lord hears your cries. In fact, we're gonna do that right now. Some of you are in difficult moments, moments that need God to turn something around. And so what we're gonna do is the worship team's coming out right now. They're gonna lead us in that chorus one more time. God, turn it around, God, turn around. And here's what I want you to do. You don't have to sing. I want you to call out to God. I want you to cry out to him. You can stay seated, you can kneel, you can stand, you can raise your hands, you can do whatever you want. But in this moment, I believe as we call out to God, he wants you to know he hears your cries. And some of us need to be heard right now, amen? So worship team, come on out. Let's take this moment just to let God speak to us and work in us as we pray for God to come and do a supernatural work among us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus, by the power of your Spirit. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Father. Glory to your name, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Turn it around. Turn it around. Turn it around. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus, by the power of your Spirit. Lord, come by your Spirit. Yes, Lord Jesus. Lord, by the power of your Spirit, Lord Jesus, just come right now. Right now,
the conquerors here. Yes, Lord Jesus, and bless your name, Father.
Jesus.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus.
God, turn it around. God, turn it around. Lord Jesus, we thank you. You hear our cries. You tell us in the word that when we cry out to you, you hear us and you answer and you can turn things around. You know every story in this room. You know every story across this campus, every story of those who are listening right now online. And Lord, let us have that hope that rises in us. You can turn things around. Our hope is in you, in the name of Jesus. You are the provider. You are the healer. You are the deliverer. You're the one who sets captives free. And we thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you that you hear our cries. Give us ears to hear what you're saying to us today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Again, let's give God thanks and praise for his faithfulness. So the first part of this powerful truth is God hears our cries. Anybody grateful for that? But let me take you to the next point. The whole point of this prayer is that God calls us to hear the cries. God calls us to hear the cries. Let me tell you about Jackie. Jackie was a single mom with 8 children. Husband walked out. She was in a desperate situation. She was looking for hope, and one day she found out about reaching out, and she started visiting here. And she would come and gather food for her and her 8 kids. And she said, if it wasn't for this place, I would have had to give up my children. But because of reaching out, because of that ministry, she continued to come and she continued to come, and God turned things around. And now Jackie owns a restaurant. She serves our community. She's actually catered for us here at Cathedral of Faith. You see, it's not just the poor, the prisoner, the homeless. It's a story. It's a turnaround. It's a name, Jackie. God calls us to hear the cries that he hears. In fact, in the scriptures, also in Deuteronomy, we have this great verse where God says to the people of God, there should be no more poor among you. Proverbs says, defend the rights of the poor and needy. Part of the call of God on us, the answer to this prayer, Lord, hear our prayer that we would hear the cries, is that we begin to have a heart for what he has a heart for. We would begin to hear. In fact, Proverbs 14 puts it this way, when we are generous to the poor, we honor him. You know, there's a parable that Jesus tells about what's happening at the end of time when all of us appear before God. I don't know whether you realize this, but one day we'll give an account of our lives, how much money went through our bank account in the time we were on earth, how much time we had, the neighborhood he placed us in, the talents he gave us. One day we give an account, and here's what Jesus says at that moment. Wow, enter into the joy of the Lord, because when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you gave me clothes. When I was in prison, you visited me. And they're like, when did we visit you in prison? When did we help you have food? And he's like, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. Right. He also goes on to say, if you haven't done it to them, you haven't done it to me. So here's the truth. When we serve those in our community in need, as the scripture commands, we actually are doing it unto the Lord. Amen. These aren't just groups of poor, prisoners, homeless. These are people with names, with stories, in need of a turnaround. In fact, the very first time Jesus got up to preach, the very first recorded sermon we have from him comes from Luke chapter 4, and here's what took place. Jesus stood up to read, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Oh, how are we gonna know that? Because he's anointed me. And so what does that mean? And he gives this list and he culminates this list. This is how you can tell the Spirit's on me, because I proclaim good news to the poor. Caring for those in need is the heart of the Father. In Deuteronomy 24, we read these words, "Don't deprive others of justice. Remember, you were slaves and the Lord redeemed you from there. That is why I command you to do this." So in other words, he's saying, don't forget where you came from. Amen. When we understand the incredible grace of God in our life, we can't help but want to demonstrate that grace to others. If we don't demonstrate to others, it's a pretty good sign that maybe we're like, oh yeah, I did God a favor. I turned my life to him. Isn't God lucky to have me? That's the kind of spirit that keeps us from caring for the poor. Because we think, well, we deserve it. We worked hard. You know, it's an interesting thing. It's been my privilege to take over 1,000 people on missions trips to 56 different countries. And the majority of that is working with people in poverty, whether it was in the jungles of Guatemala in an orphanage that was overcrowded, or whether it was in the windy streets of a slum in India, or whether it was a place with no electricity or running water in Africa where I lived for several months, or whether it was in Philippines as I had to avoid open sewage to get to the dump to minister to people. The same thing happens to me every time. I get there. I see the poverty, I see the need, and my heart's broken. And that amazing revelation I have every time is, God, they didn't pick to be born here. I didn't pick to be born where I was. It's just your grace. If it weren't for you, this could be me. And it's so easy to feel compassion in those moments, like, oh, these people in poverty. And yet somehow in America, when we see somebody in poverty, we think, oh, well, it's their own choice. They did that to themselves. It's all about them. But the reality is, God says, I want you to hear the cries. I want you to see the needs. I want you not to forget what I've done for you, because when you've done it to me, when you've done to the least of these, you've done it to me. In fact, let's take a look at the next slide. It says this, our heart toward the poor reveals our heart toward Christ. You can tell your heart toward Christ by how you respond to those in need. If we open our ears to hear, let me tell you a story about Vince. Vince was a heroin addict for 25 years. Homeless, struggling, called out, cried out to God. God, he walked into this place. They prayed for him and immediately he was delivered. Amen. Never again needed a drug in his life. And Vince's life turned around. For years, he was an usher here, bringing people into the presence of Jesus because God had turned his life around. In those days, we used to have buses that would go out into struggling neighborhoods and bring kids in. He drove buses bringing kids here because he heard the cries. You see, it's not just about the poor or the prisoner or the homeless. It's a name. It's a story. It's a turnaround. A guy named Vince. That's what God calls us to do. Now, people make a big deal about last words. What were the last words of Jesus? And it's really important because that's really a focus that Jesus gave us to go to the whole world. But I don't know if you ever realized it. The last words of the Apostle Paul, the very last thing we have from him preaching or teaching or speaking, is in Acts chapter 20 when he's talking to the Ephesian elders. And let me tell you what he says. Here's his last words. Don't only preach, help the poor. Read that with me. Don't only preach, help the poor. This is Paul's final words to all of us as believers. He wrote 13 books of the New Testament. He led the church. And his word to us is, don't just preach. Just don't carry your Bible around and tell people about the Bible. Bless the poor. That's the heart of God. That's what he wants for us. Now, I know I told you God hears our cries, but there's a caveat to that. If we read in the book of Isaiah these words, God saying to the people of God, day after day they seek me out. Speaking of the people of God, including us, they seem eager to know my ways. They ask me for justice and seem eager for me to come near them. But you wonder why I don't notice your worship? The kind of worship I'm looking for is to loose the chains of injustice, share your food with the hungry, provide the poor wanderer with shelter, and when you see the naked, to clothe them. When you do these things, then I will hear your cry for help. Okay, let me put this in a 2024 paraphrase. You think by coming to church every Sunday? You think by throwing some money in every once in a while? You think by serving that I'm gonna hear your cries? But he's like, if you don't hear the cries I hear of people in need in the community, those cries are so loud, I don't hear your cries. Sometimes we may be wondering, oh, I've cried out to God so much. And he's like, yeah, it's always about you. Hear the cries that I'm hearing. In fact, Proverbs 21 puts it this way, whoever closes their ear to the cry of the poor will themselves call out and not be answered. Now, it's not like we're saying, okay, God, I'll give so that you'll give to me. It's a matter of partnering with him. A disciple is someone who's a partner in the mission of Jesus, a student of the ways of Jesus, an imitator of who Jesus is. This is what Jesus did. He served the poor. In Luke 4, we read, the Spirit of the Lord is that I would give good news to the poor. That begins the whole book of Luke, which is all about Jesus, the Savior to the disadvantaged. A prominent pastor and author from our generation, Tim Keller, puts it this way in his book, Generous Justice. If you look down at the poor and stay aloof from their suffering, you have not really understood or experienced God's grace. Let me tell you a story about Gina. Gina was incarcerated. She'd been homeless. She struggled. Finally got out. She called out to the Lord and said, God, I need your help. And God brought Johnny and Larry into her life. They were in the prison. And then she couldn't get a bank account. Nobody gave her one. And Lori went and made sure that she had the bank account. She got a place to live. She got a job. And before she moved out of town, she was here on the front row. We were to pray God's blessing on her. You see, it's a story. It's a name. It's a turnaround. It's Gina. The quote on the screen says this, we choose to be good neighbors to neighborhoods in poverty. God put you in this city. You might think, oh, it's the house that I fell in love with. It's the only apartment I could afford. It was the best place closest to work. But the reality, where God has put you in that community is part of your call to care for neighborhoods. And so if Jesus was walking our streets today, what cries would he hear in the streets of San Jose? What would he hear coming from behind locked doors in Morgan Hill? What would he hear in the alleys of Gilroy? What would he hear along the side of the freeway in Milpitas? What are the cries that he's hearing? And he's like, I want you to hear the cries that I hear. I'm so grateful for this amazing church and the incredible generosity that that prayer has led us to as a people of God. Amen? Yeah, let's give God thanks and praise. So here we are on holy ground. Some of us have our shoes off. And God's saying, will you hear the cries? And our response is, here I am. It's wonderful that Cathedral does a lot of great things. But in the end, it's more than just, I go to that church and they do this. I threw 10 bucks in once and I do this. No, this is more about one day each of us, you, me, will give an account and God will say, I put you in that neighborhood. I gave this to you. I put that much money in your account over the course of your life. I gave you this much time. I placed you around that community, that poverty pocket. What did you do to fulfill my purposes? Again, I'm so grateful for the ministries here at Cathedral of Faith. You'll see a picture up there of Pastor Kurt distributing food. Our Reaching Out ministry is an amazing ministry. Bishop, stand up for just a moment. I'm so grateful for Bishop EC who leads this ministry. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people have received food because of the generosity of this place who heard the cries. God uniquely positioned us for the pandemic, we were already in place and it was able to expand. And literally millions of dollars have been given out in food in this place. And you could be part of that. We have opportunities Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays to come and be part of serving. I encourage you to call a church office and say, hey, how can I be part of that? Another one of our amazing ministries is Good Sam. Dave, stand up. David leads up that Good Samaritan ministry. Let's hear it for David. It's a ministry that helps men and women coming back into society after being in the system, helping them find jobs, helping them find food, helping them find bus passes, helping them to get their feet back in the right place, turning around God's work in their lives. You might want to be part of that ministry. Another one is we have a homeless ministry here that goes out and serves people in the community who are unhoused. You might want to be part of that. Call the church office. You can go out and serve others and be part of what God's doing. Also coming up is, as you know, we've been working and praying and planning for several years for affordable housing project that's we're praying will go here on our property. Maybe you need to be part of helping make that possible to reach and touch people in our community. We're also part of another ministry called Safe Park, and here's what it is. There are families, single moms, young people, single people, as well as families that are in great need, and they need a place to be safe. And so for the whole month of June, our parking lot's open and we have dozens of people who come in, they park there overnight and safe. We feed them dinner, we have breakfast in the morning. Maybe you need to be part of that ministry. Again, for the month of June, we're gonna be serving that way. Call the church office, find out how you can be part of making a difference. In fact, let me tell you, last year when we did this here, there was a young lady who came to Christ during that time. She now attends our Catedral de Fe and is on the worship team there. God's turned her and her whole family around. Let me tell you about Marguerite. Marguerite was in prison. She'd been homeless. She grew up poor. She cried out to God. God turned her around. And you know what happened? Now she serves in Good Samaritan. She's actually part of the leadership team in Gilroy at our campus. God turned it around. It's not just the poor, the prisoner. It's a name, it's a story, it's a turnaround. It's somebody named Marguerite. And there are people out there who need that work from us. We also have a ministry to Elmwood Prison. Johnny and Larry are there regularly teaching and training. Maybe you want to be part of going out and reaching men and women who are in that situation. Again, it's not just prisoners. It's people with names and stories who need the work of God in their life. Amen? Also, coming up starting May 1st on a Wednesday night at 7:30, I'm going to be teaching a course for 6 weeks called Bearing Witness, Uncovering God's Love for People in Places in Poverty. If you have a heart to serve the poor, I'm going to do a whole six-week Wednesday night training to help people see what can I actually do to make a difference. Here's what God wants us to do, to uncover His love for people in places in poverty. That's what He does. God placed you in your street for a reason. In fact, I'm gonna invite you to stand with me for just a moment. And I'm gonna have us in a moment pray, cry out for our street. Again, maybe it's your dream home, maybe it's not where you wanna live ultimately, but that's where God has you right now. And so I'm just gonna invite you to call out the name of your street before the Lord, so that He can see that your desire is, Lord, you put me here for a reason. Lord, we lift up these streets and communities you've called us to. I lift up Charlotte Drive. Go ahead, call them out. Lord, show us how to care for the community you've called us to. Break our heart with what breaks yours. Lord, we recognize that there are 127,000 people in poverty in San Jose alone. There are 6,340 people living on the streets. There are 24 poverty pockets that need our love and attention. Break our hearts for those who are struggling, those whose medical conditions have drained their bank accounts and left them on the street, those who are losing their battle with addictions, those who are facing mental health challenges. We want to hear the cries that you hear, so that San Jose would be a better city because you've put us in it. Morgan Hill would be a better city because you placed us in it. Each of our communities would be better because you've placed us there. Thank you, God, for what you've done through Cathedral of Faith. But we need your help. We need you to show up. We need to have your heart to hear the cries that you hear. Thank you for your favor and blessing on us. We know we've been blessed to be a blessing. And I pray, Lord, this would move beyond, this is what my church does, this is a ministry our church has, to this is the call of God on my life. Lord, move us beyond just doing what makes us feel better about ourselves and alleviates us of guilt. But Lord, help us to truly hear the cries. Bring us to people who need to know your voice and your heart. Speak to us and work in us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Let's give God thanks and praise for his faithfulness. There are so many ways that God can work in and through you. And the ushers will be at the back doors to receive tithes and offerings on the way out. But if you want to give a special gift today, I'm just going to do a Kenny Foreman thing. I'm going to leave my Bible here in the front. There's some envelopes here. If you feel led today to give to one of our ministries that reaches out to the poor, I just invite you, make your way up here, and let's bless those in our community. What's your part in hearing the cries? As we're going out today, a couple things. One, there'll be prayer available in the front of the amphitheater if you'd like prayer today, someone to pray along with you as you cry out. We have a women's conference coming up that you'll see that you can be part of. The tickets are available out there. Pastor Shelley's leading. Our Vacation Bible School is open out there if you want to sign up your kid for that. We also have Neighborhood Christian Preschool out there if you have know somebody who would like to be part of that. And then Dr. Ed has a great conference coming up, Anointed for Business. This is a great moment for you to live out your faith every day at work. You can sign up out there today as well and be part of how do you carry that joy, that peace, that kingdom of God, the ecclesia to the place where you work. Well, there's a passage of scripture I want to declare as a benediction over you. It comes from Psalm 41, verse 1. Let's read it together. Blessed is the one who considers the poor. Let's say it again. Blessed is the one who considers the poor. Lord, may we be a place that hears the cries that you're hearing, that sees the need and cares about those. I just pray your blessing upon your people. Thank you, because there are so many stories in this room of turnarounds that have already happened because of your faithfulness. Help us to be part of the turnarounds for those names, those stories, those people on our street, in our community, in the poverty pockets around us, and in our community. I pray blessing upon your people, because you say, blessed are the one who considers the poor. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. God bless you. We love you. Have a great week in the Lord. Amen.